and smile light up the dark. I'm so in love, feel like I knew it from the start. You got that class that a real man can't pass. Let's stand up to this mirror so I can see us in the glass. You can be my missus if you wanna play that role. And if this bed can move, we could call this a rodeo. I'm down here on my knees,
yeah,
asking you, can you baby please, please do it for me? Cause I want you in that birthday suit, baby.
That's that Mike J.
We ain't gotta talk no more, baby.
That's that Mike J. That's hot right there. That's Mike J. Birthday suit. What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And you know who I am. I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite. And I'm ready to chop up some real good game, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have everybody tuning in. If you're not following me on Twitter, y'all asses need to be following me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Y'all need to know how to spell my name. Also, y'all need to be following me on Instagram. That's at Tariq Elite. And we're going to chop up some real good game on today's show. We're going to talk about killer simps. That's what I'm going to talk about on today's show. I'm going to talk about the case that just happened with this guy who was a killer simp, Elliot Rogers, going on a killing spree out here in Southern California. I'm going to touch on that and some more things. And I will be right back right after these messages, ladies and gentlemen, on Tariq Elite Radio. Don't you go nowhere. Case Ultra, the t-shirt brand inspired by ancient mysteries and modern style. Sign up for their t-shirt subscription and get a new exclusive shirt delivered every month automatically. Every shirt comes with a magazine that doubles as a poster, which describes the story and the history behind the design and the detail. It also comes with free stickers. Sign up for the t-shirt subscription right now. Tariq Radio listeners, use the coupon code KFLEX and get 50% off on your first month. That's CaseUltra.com. Again, that's CaseUltra.com. Jazzy Hair. Now, they offer the finest quality virgin Brazilian hair extension products that allow individuals to have that full body of hair they always wanted. Now, they specialize in authentic virgin Brazilian hair extensions, and they have many textures to choose from. Now, their hair is 100% unprocessed, and it has extremely high quality. They got great customer service, and they have fast delivery. Check out their website at jazzyhair.com. That's J-A-Z-E-E hair.com. Follow them on Facebook at J-A-Z-E-E hair.com or call them at 832-901-2603. Now, you use the coupon code Tariq10 and get 50% off on shipping. That's jazzyhair.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
You better recognize!
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite. Glad to have everybody tuning back in, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to make it do what it do. Don't forget, Hidden Colors 3. That's going to be in select theaters around the country on June 26th, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to be on Thursday, June 26th. Select theaters all around the country. It's going to be in Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., at two theaters in Washington, D.C., in Atlanta, Dallas, Detroit, Philly, New York, Oakland, and it's going to be in Chicago that Friday, the 27th. And it's going to be in Atlanta again on the 27th. So it's showing two nights in Atlanta. That's the only place where it's showing two nights, Friday and that Thursday. So you guys don't want to miss that. I'm going to have the exact theaters and all that stuff on the website pretty soon. So I'll keep you guys posted with all of that good information, ladies and gentlemen. Now today on today's show, I want to talk about killer simps. And we're talking about the case that everybody's talking about now, the case with Elliot Rogers. This is the guy who committed those shootings out here in Southern California. I want to talk about that and talk about the mindset of killer simps. Because the simping game, it goes to an extreme level. And when it goes to an extreme level, then you have killer simps. You have power simps, regular simps, and then you have killer simps. But before I get into that, let me touch on a few items that I saw in in the news and in the media. Somebody sent me a link of some kid. It said a male student at a high school in Connecticut. He wins homecoming queen. They gave the homecoming queen crown to a boy, to a kid at a school. Now, even before I saw the link, I said, watch this be a black kid. Even before I saw the link, I saw somebody tweeted me this tonight earlier. And I said, okay, this is going to be a black kid. Sure enough, they sent me the link. It said, gay kid at high school in Connecticut becomes prom queen. And I see the video, and most of the kids at the school, it's a high school with predominantly white kids. So these white kids are cheering. Then this black kid comes out sashaying. They put a crown on his head, and he's just a sashaying away. And I knew that was the case. I wish my gay brothers and sisters really become more politically conscious and understand when people are using you as the Trojan horse to get their agenda in the mix. They use you and they use us. We're always being used to get other people's agenda out there in the mix. And I really want my brothers and sisters out there in the gay and lesbian community to become more politically knowledgeable and figure out what people are doing. Go check out my lecture I did. You can get it as a pay-per-view special. It's called Are We in a Post-Racial America? And I talk about that, how a lot of our gay brothers and sisters are used politically. And I just hate to see it over and over and over again. Black folks, we got to stop being used by other people to push their agendas. They piggyback on us and they'll put us out there and we're dancing and singing and smiling and they're pretending to be down by cheering us on. But at the end of the day, they'll use that for their own gain and their own benefit. And we're stuck out there basking in the so-called limelight, and when the limelight is off, we're back to square one, where other people have gained all types of benefits off your back and off you going out there being the sacrificial lamb. So we just got to be more politically conscious about certain things we do, and when people in the dominant society cheer us on, we got to see what the ulterior motive is. But I digress, ladies and gentlemen. Now, speaking of ulterior motives, Mark Cuban. Now, a lot of people are talking about this situation with the team owner, the billionaire team owner. He owns the Dallas Mavericks, Mark Cuban. Mark Cuban came out in an interview last week trying to low-key defend Donald Sterling. We're talking about two guys who happen to be millionaires and team owners, so these cats look out for one another. And you had Mark Cuban trying to defend him by trying to minimize racism. And Mark Cuban came out talking about, well, all of us are a little prejudiced. All of us are a little bigoted. Now, you got to be very careful when you see people use those terms, because they use those terms and they are deliberately trying to be deceptive when they use those terms. They try to pretend that bigotry, prejudice, and racism are interchangeable, and they know that it is not. They know that those things are not interchangeable whatsoever. They know exactly what racism is. When people act like they don't know what racism is and pretend to be dumb, especially those in the dominant society, black folks, stop letting them run that con game on you. People in this country know that there is a system in place that will give those in the dominant society certain privileges, set-asides, benefits, and passes over black folks. People in the dominant society, they understand this by the age of six. Children in the dominant society understand this. So when an adult is sitting up, well, what, racism goes both ways. They're running a con game. The minute they do that, your antenna should go up. They're running a con game on you. So you got to stop letting them run that con game. Now, with the whole Mark Cuban thing, he was talking about, well, if I were to see a black kid with a hoodie walking down the street, I'd walk to the other side. And then he tried to clean it up. Or if I saw a white guy with a bald head and tattoos, I would walk to the other side of the street. So that was a little controversial because a lot of people thought that it was a reference to Trayvon Martin, and he chose to apologize to Trayvon Martin's parents for making that analogy. But it goes deeper than that. That whole thing about the black kid with the hoodie, let me be clear on something. And there's a lot of coons out there who will co-sign this nonsense in order to get a pat on the head from the dominant society. I've seen a lot of coons come out of the woodworks on television co-signing the Mark Cuban statements and the Donald Sterling statements. They always wheel the black folks out to start being apologists for everybody. But this whole thing about the black kid with the hoodie is threatening. Let me tell you something. Black crime or black violence is only regulated to pockets of economically deprived areas around the country. That's the only place you see any type of black crime. So when people like Mark Cuban say some cornball bullshit about, well, if I saw a black kid with a hoodie, I'd cross the street. Well, number one, unless you're in an economically deprived area, which Mark Cuban will never go to, and you should have no reason to go there, and hell, people who don't live there shouldn't even be in those neighborhoods anywhere, because they're going to get at anybody if that's the case. But outside of these economically deprived areas, black people don't commit crime. So if Mark Cuban is walking down the street and he's a billionaire and there happens to be a black kid walking down the street in a hoodie, if they're in a certain neighborhood that is not economically deprived, the black kid in the hoodie ain't going to do shit. Not going to do a goddamn thing to you. Just like Trayvon Martin didn't do anything. People kind of forget that Trayvon Martin was totally innocent when he just got ran up on and executed like that. Because people like to use that stereotype of the black degenerate, and they use that to justify treating all black people like that. That's why people pretend. See, that's a game they play with us. They pretend that all people are hood, all black people are hood, and all black people are ghetto, and they try to project that onto you so they can use that to discriminate against you. And then when they start talking about black people going to job interviews, not being well-dressed and all that, that's another bullshit myth. Black folks got enough sense to go to a job and be dressed correctly, but people pretend and they put stuff out like black people are going to job interviews wearing the hat backwards, wearing sagging pants, which is a lie. It's a total damn lie. But they will use that to justify discriminating against all black folks. So we got to stop co-signing fuckery when it comes from the dominant society and when it comes from the coons trying to get a pat on the head from the dominant society. Because, see, when people like Mark Cuban and others talk about some innocent black kid with a hoodie who's not going to do a goddamn thing to him, talking about how they would cross the street and watch out for them, you need to be watching out for the white kid in the BMW and the pistol, like Elliot Rogers. And I talked about this on Sunday. This dude, Elliot Rogers, had all the symptoms of somebody who was about to do something off the wall. And that's the thing that I find very interesting. You focus on these black kids who are not going to really do anything. Again, black crime is only regulated to very small pockets of certain areas around the country, like Chicago. The crimes that happen in Chicago happen in like the same four neighborhoods in Chicago. And black people have to answer all over the country. We have to almost be apologists for Chicago. When you have all of these other crimes going on by the dominant society all over the place. Because truth be told, there is no black version of this Elliot guy, this Elliot Rogers. You don't see black dudes going out like killer simps like that. You don't see black dudes snapping and just a black brother in the suburbs or a well-to-do black person, because middle-class black people don't commit crime. Well-to-do black people do not commit crime, let alone any kind of violent crime. It's extremely rare that that would happen. So this is why you don't see too many black versions of Elliot Rodgers. Some dude, you got a nice ride, you in a BMW, you got well-to-do parents, and you out here with a bunch of pistols randomly shooting people. You don't see that, a black version of that. You don't see a black version of a suburban black kid shooting up a school. You don't see that. Because there are people in the dominant society from every socioeconomic background that gets into violent crime and mass murder and all that. And you just don't see that in the black community. If you want to avoid black crime, all you have to do is get out of a place that has concentrated poverty. That's the only thing you have to do. Outside of these areas, there is no black crime. It's very rare. Always remember that and stop. When you see some ratchetness that go on, it kills me when black folks say, oh man, they making us look bad. Oh, we need to stop black folks. No, that's lower income, impoverished black folks who do shit like that. Don't let other people try to mix you in with pockets of ratchetness. Black people got a very bad habit of that, because white folks and those in the dominant society, they do that with black people. So we got to stop going for that con game. But this guy, and I want to talk about Elliot Rodgers. This guy, for those who don't know, there's this guy named Elliot Rodgers. He was born in Britain, and his dad was the assistant director for the Hunger Games movies? I think it was the Hunger Games movies. Well-to-do kid. He was born in Britain, been living over here since he was 5. And he was a guy who was kind of a geek. He was a simp, didn't know how to get women, socially awkward. And he was making these crazy videos on YouTube. He was on these dating sites and these pickup artist sites, PUA sites, discussing how to meet women and all of these things. And eventually, he went on a killing spree last week, or this past weekend. Killed, I think, 6 or 7 people. I know it was 2 women he killed, and the rest are dudes. He killed some dudes. So this has been a hot topic in the media for those who are not aware of this story. Now, people are talking about some of these pickup artist sites he was on. He was on one particular site called PUA Hate, Pickup Artist Hate, where they kind of critique pickup artists. And he was on this website making a lot of racial statements. He was a white supremacist as well. And some people try to minimize his white supremacist mindset by saying, well, hell, he was mixed. His mother was Asian. He was a white guy with an Asian mother. Elliot Rodgers identified as a white person. That was his whole thing. He identified himself as white. He's legally classified as white. He happened to have an Asian mother. But he also looked down upon Asian people. He didn't like Asian people. As a matter of fact, some of the people he killed were Asian guys. He did not like Asian people. He did not identify with Asians whatsoever. He looked at himself as white. He was classified as white. He had very, very racist views against black people, black men in particular. So the guy had a white supremacist mindset. And that goes into a little bit of why he became a killer simp, and I'll get on that in a minute. But he was on these PUA websites, and this one site, PUA Hate, which this site, they talk shit about me for years on this website. They talk about my book. So it's a lot of little low-key white supremacists on these websites talking greasy. And another thing too, since this Elliot Rodgers story has come out, there's been a lot of, well, not a lot, but I've seen a few websites and blogs, and some people told me they've heard some radio stuff where my name has come up in association with this story. My name has come up by saying, well, people are throwing things out like, well, pickup artists like Tariq Nasheed are out here encouraging guys to be misogynistic. And I've heard my name kind of come up a few times in a few blogs and stuff in association to this story. And let me shut that bullshit down right now in a couple of ways. Number one, I'm not a pickup artist whatsoever. I'm not a pickup artist. I don't do all those little tricks and magic acts and all that, because that's what a lot of that stuff is about. I call myself a game advisor. It's inner. It's all about you. I build up people's confidence so they can shine from within. Also, with these pickup artists, a lot of these dudes who call themselves pickup artists, they've been stealing my stuff and material for years. And this is kind of known. This is kind of a known thing. They've been taking stuff from my books, The Art of Mackin' and The Mack Within. They've been taking stuff from my books for years. This is very well known. And they wouldn't give credit. And I've always been getting on some of these dudes' cases for taking my stuff and not giving credit. I'm like, okay, if you're going to embellish some of my stuff or even be inspired by some of my stuff, and hell, some of y'all just straight steal my stuff, at least say, hey, acknowledge a player. Throw me a bone or something if you're just going to outright take my shit. And they won't do that. But now that this story has come out and you got a killer simp who's associated with these PUA sites and the PUA game, now motherfuckers want to throw brothers mix up in there. Their names out there. Now you want to associate black folks' name with the pickup artist whole spiel. There's another cat that they've associated with the pickup artist movement. I think a brother named Player Supreme. They were saying that this Elliot guy subscribed to Player Supreme's webpage. Shout out to Player Supreme. I'm familiar with that brother. So now that this killer simp got on the loose, they want to start associating brothers with this dude. And that's another trick too. When certain people in the dominant society, when they do good things, they're a credit to the white race. They hold the white banner up for them. But the minute they do something off the wall, crazy, illegal, or criminal, or commit murder, all of a sudden they ain't white no more. Just like with Donald Sterling. When he came out with his whole racist rant, people start distancing themselves from him. They try to by saying, well, he's not really white, he's Jewish. When those guys, the Boston Bombers up there in Boston, when they blew up the bomb at that marathon, people started to say, well, they're not really white, they're Muslim. And Muslim is not a race, by the way. And even with this Elliot Rogers guy, a lot of people are saying, well, he's not white, he's mixed. So a lot of people in the dominant society will try to pawn their trash off on other races of people. And you can't really do that. That's a very common tactic I've noticed. They try to pawn the degenerates off on other people. The Asians are like, we don't want them. They did the same thing with George Zimmerman. He's not white, he's Hispanic. The Hispanic community was like, hey, he ain't one of us. So there's this pawning off, and that's another white supremacist tactic. I know a lot of people who have the white supremacist mindset. That's a common thing that they do. And you got to watch out for that. But I digress as far as that. But like I said, with this whole Elliot Rogers PUA thing, another thing with the whole PUA thing, if the dude was really listening to my stuff, he wouldn't have been a killer simp. Well, number one, he probably wouldn't listen for real, because he was a white supremacist. I don't know why he was subscribing to some other folks' stuff. But if he was really taking heed to some stuff that I was saying, that would have tightened his game up a little bit. He wouldn't be out here drawing guns on folks. And see, this is what happens. See, killer simps, when dudes become major league simps like that, it's a power thing. They feel like they don't have any power. They're at the end of their rope. So now they're not going to really depend on any kind of good game, any kind of good ism. They're going to go out here and do their own thing, and that's going to be the wrong thing. They get out here and do it the wrong way. They're going to make up their own rules. They go to the extreme of trying to get power. They can't get it with their mouthpiece. And since they have certain privileges, if that ain't working, now they got to go to the next step. Those power simps are very dangerous. Whereas a dude who's, and it has a lot to do with privilege and social economic background. Because see, a dude who's in the hood, a guy who's in a trailer park, somebody who's poor, and they're not getting no good cooperation, they say to themselves, okay, well, shit, I just need to get my money game up. If I get my money game up, I'll be on and popping. So they focus on getting paper. But when you're a dude and you got some paper, you got, you know, social status to a certain degree, and you're still not getting cooperation, then the real frustration comes in, because now what do you do? I got money, I got a car, I got a BMW, I got well-to-do parents, and I got all this, and the women are not cooperating. So what's the problem? Just like with this Elliot guy, if you look at this guy's videos, this guy was tripping. He was real frustrated about just not knowing what to do, how life wasn't fair. And when I heard the story and I saw his first video, I knew that there was going to be some type of racial element to it. And a lot of people thought I was reaching when I was talking about the racial element. And then when more of the story started coming out, the manifesto of the guy wrote this whole big, long manifesto just giving out all of his thoughts. So all of this stuff was very carefully planned out with this dude. And his behavior was so erratic, his parents called the police on him, and the police went to his spot to talk to him. And the cops gave him a pass. They gave him that white supremacist pass. The cops came over, said, hey, shit, nothing's wrong. He seemed polite and just left him. And he wrote in his manifesto, he said when the cops came to investigate him, he was hoping that the cops didn't dig further to go in there and see his guns, because he had a house full of guns. He was like, I'm so glad they didn't come in here and see my guns. Now, if black dudes were on the internet, on YouTube, making a whole bunch of stalkerish, crazy talking videos just back to back, because this Elliot guy made a whole bunch of videos talking crazy, creepy as hell, you know he was gonna do something if you saw these videos. So this dude had videos talking insane. The cops even visited him, and he still got a pass. And y'all want to talk to me about a damn black kid in a hoodie who ain't doing nothing to nobody? This is what I'm talking about. Because if a brother get on the internet talking crazy, his ass is getting locked up immediately. There was a cat, a black dude, a few years ago. He used to try to troll our message board, the United Players of America message board. He used to try to troll that, but we got rid of him very quickly. We have a zero trolling policy over there. But he's known to troll on a whole bunch of people's websites. He was known. A dude named Trash Man. Anybody who has a black website or frequent black message boards, you are familiar with Trash Man. I think he probably did some stuff on WorldStar too. But Trash Man was a known internet troll. He would get on the internet and just say real stupid shit for attention. And he had his face covered. He was kind of hiding his identity. And eventually the cops came and just bust that nigga's door open and hauled him off to jail. They were like, enough is enough with this nigga. We don't know what he's going to do. So the cops eventually locked his ass up. I don't know if he's out or whatever, but they got him. So we can't get away with no shit like that for 1 minute. But the thing is, when you're talking about a killer simp and some of these simps out here, the simp game, when it goes to that level, when you want to get real violent, see, that's all about shame and narcissism. See, you're shamed that you don't have enough game to get women to cooperate with you, because, see, you judge your social status by the way you are able to deal with women. And I always talk about that. A lot of guys feel the way you deal with women is the way you deal with life. And if you are a success with women to a certain degree, you feel like you're a success with life. And this guy, Elliot Roger, he was a virgin. And it was all about power with this guy. He had a very narcissistic attitude. It was all about him. He made all these videos looking real moist and trying to be sexy and talking about how beautiful he was and how superior he was. I mean, his whole thing was about how superior he was. Kept bragging about himself, bragging about his car, bragging about him taking private jets. It was all about him, that whole narcissism thing. And see, there's four types of stalker-like simps, because this Elliot guy, he simped to the point where he was going around secretly videotaping random couples doing commentary on them. Like, hey, look at this couple. They're all in love. I wish I was like that. I can just go knock this motherfucker out. I mean, he was just like really creepy and stalkerish, just stalking random people. And I'm pretty sure he probably stalks some women too. But there's four types of stalker simp type of dudes out here. Well, there's four stages as well. See, the first type of stalker simp you have the intimacy seeker. That's the dude. He wants affection from women. He doesn't know how to get it. So he's looking for female approval first. So he's in a submissive, subordinate position. He'll try that route first. He'll try the love and affection, the flowers, the chocolates, the writing women notes and poems, and he'll try that route first. That's that intimacy seeker simp. And then you have the second type, or the second stage. You have what I call the incompetent subtype of simp. This is the dude that's socially awkward. He just don't know how to spit, don't know what to do, don't know where to go, don't really know how to dress, just very nervous and uncomfortable around women. So what happens with these guys, since they don't know how to be productive with their mouthpiece, they start doing things that are counterproductive to mask the fact that they're not thorough. So they'll start doing some shit like posting pictures of random women and jacking off to them on the wall, just doing some real weirdo crazy shit to feel some type of sense of power. Or they'll leave notes on a woman's car they don't know. They'll start doing real incompetent shit as a way of desperately trying to get attention. The attention seeking becomes more desperate. And then number three, the third type, you have the resentful simp. Now the resentful simp, it gets to the point where they're fed up and they say, okay, well, shit, this is an injustice. I'm not getting no play. Why am I not getting no play? Then it becomes an anger thing. They get all angry, just like this Elliot guy. He was getting angry that everybody was getting play except him. And when he found out that a lot of these attractive women that he wanted to get with, these blonde white women that he desired, these women were skipping over him to get with brothers, that really sent him over the edge. And I think that was the basis of his killing spree. And I'm going to get on that in a minute. I'll touch on that. But as far as resentfulness, a lot of these dudes feel like, hell, I deserve to get with these women. I got it popping. I'm smart. I got a nice ride. I got a nice job. Why are they not getting with me? So they become angry with the women. These women are stupid. They don't know good men when they see them. You see a lot of dudes ranting on the internet like that. I played some of the power simps. Those are really the power simps. Those resentful simps, those are the power simps. Where they curse out women for not going on dates with them, or they curse out women on the internet. They make a public spectacle out of trying to shame women. Those are the resentful simps. And then you get to number four, which is the predatory simp. And then it becomes, it's not even about a relationship no more. He has no desire for a relationship. It ain't even about sex. It's all about power and control. And that's the thing with the Elliot Rogers guy, because he was like, I can't get a girl, I'm a virgin. And a lot of people were saying, well, damn, how come this dude just don't go trick off his money if he wants sex? If he just needs sex, he can just trick his money off. And that makes sense. But the thing is, a predatory simp is not really about the sex. It's about the power. You want somebody to choose you. You want to know that your status got you the female. It's all about status with these dudes. It's not about sex whatsoever, and then it becomes not even about a relationship. It's all about power and control, and then that's when they start becoming killer simps. Because the whole thing about him being a misogynist. A lot of people were looking at this story saying, well, this Elliott guy, he was a misogynist. He hated women. And a lot of the feminists are jumping on this. They're like, this proves that there's so much violence against women. And let me tell you something about the white feminists. They hustled the game. See, white feminists are not just going to go out here and rally and make a big brouhaha for nothing. See, the black feminists, they'll, and the black feminists have been very quiet about this, by the way. Unless they're trying to tie in some black folks. I think I've seen some blogs where some black feminists are trying to talk about some potential black versions of the Elliott Rodgers that don't exist as a way to appease the white male power structure, but I digress. But let me tell you how the white feminists, they get their hustle on. White feminists will use this and go get some type of public policy grant or some kind of law passed or some kind of money to build some community center. They'll work this and hustle it. They'll flip this into some money. They used to do that in the 1970s. They used to go around to these agencies saying, hey, we scared that we're going to get raped by these black dudes. Can we get some money to build a rape crisis center? And they'll get the money. They ain't going to be out here just spitting rhetoric. There's a rhyme and reason for their rhetoric. And there was a white feminist kind of debating me on Twitter the other day about the whole Elliott Rodgers thing. Because she was like, I was talking about how I think this is going to have a racial element, even before the manifesto and all that came out. And this white lady who happens to be a feminist, she's like, oh, no, this ain't about race. Oh, this ain't about race at all. This is all about misogyny. This ain't about race, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, ma'am. Then the manifesto and all that stuff came out, which proved that there was a racial element to it. And she was still insisting, well, this is, well, even though he was racist, race wasn't the motivation. It was misogyny. And then she had the nerve to tell me, well, you need to check your privilege. I said, did a white woman just tell me I need to check my privilege? Twitter is such a special place. Twitter is a special place. But I dropped some game on her and shut her up. And I broke this story down a little bit more. Because the thing is, some people try to label this guy a misogynist. But he killed two women, but he also killed dudes. So he wasn't just a misogynist. I'm saying he wasn't just a misogynist. He was a misogynist, but that wasn't just what he was. See, people look at these stories and they never factor in the white supremacist mindset. People never touch on the white supremacist element to it. What drove this Elliott dude and what made him that killer simp was the white supremacist mindset he had. Because a simp, again, they want to feel superior. And a lot of people, see, when you have these mass shootings and these killer simps and all these people, when they commit these crimes, people start throwing out all of these other excuses like, well, he had Asperger's disease. He had affluenza. There's a brand new bullshit disease that they're trying to say it's called affluenza, meaning that a person is so financially affluent. He's financially affluent. He's so privileged that all of his life he's been given things that he don't know right from wrong. So that's a psychological disorder. I want y'all to look that up. They call it affluenza. You're being so affluent and you're being so well-to-do and you've been so privileged that you don't know killing a person is bad. They've tried to use this in court before, and you know it don't work on brothers. That's a way to kind of get people in the dominant society to get them out of jail. See, we can't go to court talking about we got affluenza or Asperger's. You never hear about no black person having a mental disorder. Just that nigga was crazy, just like all the other niggas. It's black culture. Throw them in jail. We don't get the privilege of those excuses. We don't get the gun control talk. See, whenever there's a mass crime like this, people start talking about gun control. They start talking about antidepressants, but they never talk about the racial aspect of it. And in Elliott Rodgers' manifesto, he kept talking about how white girls getting the inferior black guy. Black people are inferior. He keeps making these statements. And that's the thing I think that drove him. Because with him, he felt, and I talked about this on my Ustream show, this Elliott Rodgers, he felt that he was so privileged. He had everything going. Wealthy dad, well-to-do family, nice car, private jets and all this stuff. So he should have been getting the beautiful blonde white women that he desired. But these lowly, inferior, in his words, black men were getting the women that he deserved. And that messed with him psychologically. So he said, okay, well, hell, I'm in a society where we've disenfranchised this group of people so much. We can't do any more to disenfranchise them. We've disenfranchised them economically, culturally, through the justice system. As a group, we've held these people back, and our women are still going for these guys. Life ain't fair. That was his mentality. So he decided, and this is my conjecture, okay, if we can't do anything to these black people, I'll do something to these white women. I'll pay them back for not giving me the love and affection and the sex and the respect that I deserve as a white guy. And I think that's the thing that motivated him for going on a killing spree. And this is another reason why I think he killed those Asian cats too. Because he felt superior over them. Real heavy stuff. And a lot of times in these cases, they always leave out the white supremacist aspect. Y'all remember the Columbine shooting from back in 1999? Those Columbine dudes who went up and shot up Columbine High School. Now, a lot of people don't remember or even know that those two dudes, the guys who actually did the shooting, the white kids, they were white supremacists. They were racist as hell. That's another thing that was kind of swept under the rug about the whole Columbine thing. Those two dudes were white supremacists. As a matter of fact, they timed the shooting to be around Hitler's birthday in April. So these dudes were on that Nazi shit. They didn't like black folks. They made a lot of real slick comments about black folks. As a matter of fact, they targeted one of the black students. They, like, before they shot one of the black students at the school, they were like, there's this nigga right here. And they sought him out to shoot him. Now, some people on the right, they were like, well, we don't think those guys were that racist, because if they were racist, they would have shot more black students. And I say, hold up. Because at Columbine, at that time, Columbine only had about 6 black students. And another thing, when it comes to a mass shooting, you're not going to shoot a lot of black folks at one time, first of all. You're not shooting a whole bunch of us. If there's some shooting going on, you might get one of us and possibly graze another one. But you ain't gonna shoot a whole bunch of black folks at once. And we ain't locked up or tied down or held to a tree or something. If we can get away, you ain't shooting a whole bunch of black folks. Just understand that. That's why you never hear about a whole group of black folks that got shot. We got something called get the fuck on somewhere. When we hear the clicking of a gun, we kind of know it's time to dip out. So that you're not going to get a whole bunch of black folks at once. That's just not going to happen. But the thing is, those Columbine cats, you know, they had really racist white supremacist views as well. People kind of sweep that under the rug. They don't look at the patterns there. And that has a lot to do with the way they think and the way their mindset is. Because those Columbine kids, again, they were social misfits, social outcasts. They were dudes who couldn't get girls. One of the dudes, he admitted that he had a problem getting girls. And also, I think they were getting bullied by the jocks at the school, too. So their thing, you have to understand the mindset of a kid like that in the dominant society when they're getting bullied, the girls aren't cooperating with them. The only thing that gives them any kind of sense of power is believing that they're better than black people. You understand that? That makes sense? The only thing that gets them up out of bed every day to make them feel any sense of power is feeling or believing that they are somehow better than black folks. That's why a lot of those nerds and those, like, those geeks in the dominant society, a lot of them are racist as hell. If you look at a lot of message boards, especially gaming message boards or any kind of computer message boards, anything where there's a bunch of geeks, a lot of them, they say a lot of racial shit if you notice. Geeks are very racist dudes. Because that's the only way they can feel power. They take on that racist behavior. Like, look at the cartoon nerds and the comic book nerds. Those are real racist dudes. when y'all remember when the Thor movie from a few years ago, there was a character who was white in the comic books, but in the movies they were going to put in Idris Elba to play this character who was originally white in the comic book. Them white supremacist nerds lost their minds. Y'all remember that? Go look that up. They were mad as hell that a black dude was playing the role of this fictional character. They went on a nigga spree. They were talking crazy. Even with the Hunger Games. In the Hunger Games, speaking of Elliot Rodgers and the Hunger Games, which is based on a book that a lot of the geeks like to read, when they put a black character in the movie, when people didn't know that the character was black in the book, a lot of the geeks went crazy over that too. They were talking real crazy, making real slick fucked up comments about the black girl being in the movie. And also, when you play like the Xbox games, my daughter was playing the Xbox game a few years ago, and you know, those Xbox games, I don't know what she was playing, it was some kind of shooting game or whatever, where you know, you interact with a whole bunch of other users from around the world. And she was giggling one day, and I'm like, what are you giggling about? And it was a whole bunch of little white kids on there just going to town. Nigga, nigga, nigga this, nigga coon, nigga coon. I mean, they were just nigga coon nonstop. Every other comment, nigga this, nigga that, nigga this, nigga that. These little computer gaming nerds just having a nigga fest, spewing out the word nigga. And all types of anti-black racial epithets. My daughter thought it was funny, which it was so silly. It was funny, but it was sad, and it said a lot that these kids at a very young age, when they're geeks, they still understand systematic white supremacy. They got that. They know that. So the thing is, when you have that dynamic, when you are a nerd, or you're considered a geek, or you're considered a social outcast in white society, the only thing that makes you feel a sense of power is feeling like, okay, even though people in my own community shit on me, I ain't getting no women, at least I can feel like I'm better than those group of people over there. That group of people there, I'm still better. And then when you see the brothers and people in the black society excel and thrive academically and socially, that really bothers these dudes and it takes them over the top. That's when they become killer simps, when they see brothers shining, getting play, and doing real fly things. People have to stop negating the racial element to a lot of these cases and a lot of these situations with these killer simps out there. That has a lot to do with it, and I think that's heavily ignored. See, the thing is, when a lot of these people deal with black folks, they like to see black people in an inferior dynamic. They're comfortable with, you know, black people fighting and black people being in poverty and all this stuff. But when we shine, boy, that digs into their soul, because now you're taking away their identity. You're taking away the only thing that makes this motherfucker want to get up every day. And Elliot Rodgers, he articulated that to a certain degree, as much as he could. He articulated how it bothered him to see a black dude get play from white women. And truth be told, he ain't mentally ill. A lot of people in the dominant society feel like that. They might not go to the level of being killer simps, but hell, they used to. Y'all remember when brothers would get lynched? That's what that was about. That's what the lynchings were about. This whole fake outrage over black dudes, quote unquote, going to rape a white woman. That wasn't, no. That was about being insecure about black male sexuality. Real deep stuff, and we talk about that in Hidden Colors 3, by the way. I can't wait till you guys see that. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Just wanted to get deep and chop up some real game. But look, all you dudes out there, if you feel like you're a social misfit, a social outcast, get some game in your life. Step your game up. All you nerds and geeks are outcasts in the dominant society. Let that whole white supremacist nonsense go. Because you're trying to base your identity on a myth, and then when you find out that myth ain't true, you want to go ahead and get the pistol and start offing people. This is why I talk about relationships and race, because relationships and race, they tie in with each other. That's why I do both. And I'm going to have to do a whole show about that pretty soon. But anyway, y'all, I'm going to holler at you guys on Ustream this Sunday. Much love, respect, peace.